This is our town.
Another week for everything the GV. Welcome to my town.
Yeah. That's right. It is everything the GV. We love to chat to footy clubs. We love to chat people who are organising local events, anything that's going on across the GV. Mayor in a Minute's going to be coming up.
Yeah, whatever it might be. Last week, chatting to Jack from Kingupno Football Netball Club. And we continue the trend of rocking football, not just in the AFL.
Yep.
But also, looking at our local leagues, we've got the Murray, we've got KDFL, got the GVL. There's a lot going on, and we'll cover off on it here. Today, we are joined by a club with over 136 years of history. And, you know, a rough week to start the season, 135 for 23, not a great way to start the year.
Yeah, it's a bit rough, that.
Joined by club president of the Longwood Football Netball Club, Rick Shiner. Good morning, mate.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Yes, we're very good. Look, we won't touch on it too much because obviously it's one we're looking to learn from and forget quickly. Not the best performance on the weekend. What's your key takeaway to take into round two?
Well, we need to get better.
Yeah.
That's it. We hit a Sheffield side full of run and enthusiasm, and you know, probably a few things happening over the pre-season, which is pretty tough for the club, and they really come out and shone through. So well done to Sheffield.
Rick, with the history that your club has, 136 years of history, and a bit of a rebuild after 2014, 2015. How's that been going? Has that affected players or the teams in any way?
Oh, it's been a massive rebuild. You know, right from the bones of the committee, right the way up. You know, getting the financials back in order. Mm. And then just slowly building teams. We've gone from, you know, being in the Benalla District in 2009, fielding seniors, reserves, and three grades netball, to now we field 13 teams. So we on the weekend we had our first ever under 10s football, our first ever under 11s netball, and now C reserves. So we're pretty proud of that fact. From
yeah,
a town of 250 people to be fielding 160 participants week in, week out, we think is a pretty massive effort.
Very impressive just even looking at the pure numbers of it all. And look, Rick, you'll have to excuse, I guess, my general ignorance here, but what sort of path was the club heading down that sort of causes you to nearly fold? Like what's happening? Is it a lack of interest? Is it people moving away from the town, as we do see occasionally happen in regional communities? What's going on?
Oh, well, not really people moving away from our town as such. We're a small town. At the time, we were probably learning about the ins and outs of the KDL and how it all runs, and you know, probably didn't quite go about it the right way. But you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and that's the attitude that we've taken. We've taken a long approach and what we believe is a sustainable approach, and obviously put a lot of time and effort into our juniors, and we see that to be our survival, as we believe is the survival for every club.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of survival, there's a club's got no future unless it's got young up-and-comers coming through to, you know, keep the club going. And you, like you mentioned before, you had your very first under-10s junior team. That must have been quite a moment for the club, hey?
Oh, it's a massive thrill. You know, back when we first went into the KDL, the talks were that we'd never field any junior sides, and, you know, we're quite fat. You know, proud of the fact now that we field under 18s, as we have for 10 years, and now under 15s football and under 10s. You know, although we know our numbers aren't huge, but it's enough that we make it work, and we just sort of see that we have to make it work for the longevity of our club.
For a club like Longwood, and you know, in the KDL, obviously they've got. Well, in any league, to be honest, like you've got clubs that are obviously from bigger towns, so therefore they're going to have the ability to attract imports and whatnot. How does it go managing a senior side from a smaller town? What is the balance between imports and the kids that have come up through the ranks and locals?
Well, at the moment, there's probably a lot more that come from outside of the town. We do have a number of senior footballers that have now been with our club a long period of time. You know, they might necessarily live in the town, but, you know, we view them as locals. And that's one thing that Longwood's always been good at, because they've always had to do it, bring people in from outside. But we make a real conscious effort of trying to bring people into a club that have got a connection, whether that's through family, whether that's through friends or the coach or whatever it is, you know, rather than, you know, just sort of trying to, you know, be the highest bidder. That's not what we believe in. We don't believe that's a sustainable plan. But, you know, as we're speaking about our juniors, and we see now, you know, kids that are starting to graduate through our junior grades in football and netball, so we believe that what we call local talent, local players, we believe that number's going to increase. And that's so important, because your locals want to see your locals play. And, you know, despite the fact that, you know, we may, you know, eventually get ourselves up to having 10, you know, what we say locals in that side, but that's 10 that otherwise wouldn't have that opportunity.
It's all about, I guess, learning from, you know, the years past and trying to put that into, in effect in the future, which is something you're going to be doing even just on a week-to-week basis off of round one heading into round two. Hopeful to bounce back this weekend. Rick Scheiner, club president of the Longwood Football Netball Club. Thanks for your time this morning, mate. We appreciate it.
No worries, guys. Really appreciate it. Cheers.
This is our town.
I drive past it every day on the way to work, Josh, and I always go, I don't quite know what's going on there. But the Smart Farm in Tat, near Tat, is attracting people from all over the world. Recently, at my family's place, I met a couple from Michigan over in the United States that had travelled out just to go to the Smart Farm and spend a week in Tatura.
Really?
Very interesting. I don't know what's going on at the Smart Farm, but someone who might very well know what's going on there. So much so, in fact, that he's going to be at the Future Ag Expo 2024, which is on later this month, the 17th to 19th of April at the Melbourne Showgrounds. Dr. Ian Goodwin, he joins us right now. Hello!
Yeah, g'day, Nick. How are you going?
Yeah, we're doing very well, Ian. Now, tell us, Smart Farm, what is happening there that is attracting people from all over the world? What is going on at your farm?
Yes, so we're doing a few things. One of them is we've set up, you know, a whole lot of experiments, if you like, in horticulture, like in fruit crops, for example. And some of them are very unique, and I can tell you a bit about them if you like. But first of all, just in general terms, we also do quite a lot of work on, I'd describe it as evaluating and testing the latest, call it ag tech, if you like, that might be available to, in our case, it's about, you know, orchards, it's about fruit.
So when we say Smart Farm, it's just because you're trying out a bunch of new practices compared to, I'm assuming other farms don't really have the luxury of testing out things in the way that you do?
Yeah, yeah. So it's a bit of a combination of not only, you know, trying to test, let's say, technology that could be used by orchardists around here, but also, you know, I'd like to think that we're doing some pretty smart research as well. You know, we've got, for example, set up here what we call our sundial orchard. And basically, if you can imagine a wheel hub and then spokes coming out from it, and those spokes are rows of trees. So each row of trees is a different orientation in respect to north, south, east, west, and, you know, in between.
Okay.
So it's sort of like if you see it from above, it just looks like this sort of, you know, wheel hub and spokes. But deliberately it's done so that we can look at the effect of the sun on various aspects of productivity, whether that's, you know, sunburn damage or colour development, you know, stuff like that.
Are they all the same type of tree?
In that orchard, we've got a nectarine as well as an apple cultivar, which is marketed as under the name Bravo. It's a very dark skin, like a burgundy skin apple, but it does suffer from sunburn, and it also has a problem of not getting enough colour. Like, it has to be very dark to be, you know, properly marketed.
Now, there's an agri-tech event happening in Australia the 17th to 19th of April, later this month at the Melbourne Showgrounds. I'm assuming you enjoy this time because you kind of get to go down there and show off a little bit, like, hey, look what we're doing.
Yes, that's right. So, yeah, you know, I'll be presenting. There's sort of a concurrent conference at the expo. So, you know, basically a whole, you know, I think it's up around 130 sort of exhibitors there.
Wow.
But concurrent to that, they run a conference, which is basically an opportunity for people like me to get up there and speak, but about what we're doing at the Smart Farm and some of the, you know, technology that's, you know, being developed and we're testing here.
It's a very exciting time for agriculture, yeah. Especially showing off what the Goulburn Valley has to offer. Future Ag, it's the first Agritechnica event in Australia, part of the world's largest agricultural trade shows. 17th to the 19th of April this year. That's only in a few weeks' time, I suppose, at the Melbourne Showgrounds here. Dr. Ian Goodwin, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to seeing you at the expo.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
This is our town.
We get a bit of a recap from the weekend that was with the GVL. Michael Van Dorser joins us on the phone. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Wonderful day. How are we?
Yes. Very, very good. Now, Kyabram had a good weekend.
They had a fantastic weekend getting back on the winners list. They trailed by 16 points going into three-quarter time under lights at Moon Oval in Rochester, and they managed to come away with a two-point win. So that was fantastic for them, and great to see them back on the winners list.
Tatura, the Bulldogs couldn't keep it going after their win over Seymour a little while back over with that after the siren beater. Euroa coming out 34-point winners. Did it look like a close game at any point?
Yeah, it was close at the half time, and I'm sitting there looking at it going, this is going to be an absolute ripping game of footy. But Euroa in the second half, 14 scoring shots to just two in the end, saw them run away with that 34-point win at home down at Memorial Oval. So Euroa's going to be one that we're going to keep an eye on across the season.
Shepparton won the battle over United, 61 points. Who are the standouts in that game?
Well, back to the club, Joel Brett kicked three with Luke Smith as well, kicking three goals as well. Mm. Joel Brett in particular and Liam McDougall have been two very handy inclusions for the Shepparton Bears this year. Ones to keep an eye on across that way. But, yeah, they did a fantastic job, and that's probably the biggest margin in the Deakin Reserve battle for some time.
Yeah.
Are there any upcoming games that you're excited about in the footy?
I'm looking forward to what's happening this week at Echuca. It's 1v2, Echuca versus Maroopna, and it's going to be an absolute thriller, I would dare say. These two sides love playing against each other, and we're looking forward to seeing what will be another ripping clash up at the Port of the Murray this week. And also, Kyabram versus Euroa under lights at Kyabram, that will be an absolute ripping game too, I would dare say. So you can go and watch the game at Echuca, then drive back, watch the game in Kyabram, and you'll get your footy fix all day Saturday.
Also, just on the netball side of things, wins for Euroa, Swans, Mansfield, Rochester, and a big win for Maroopna and Shepparton. Four goals over United there. Any big games coming up for the netball?
Yeah, well, I'm guessing the Echuca-Maroopna game at Echuca is going to be a ripper. That, again, across both footy and netball, those two sides just are really evenly matched across the way. So looking forward to seeing that one. And I think Rochester versus Shepparton on the netball courts at Deakin Reserve on Saturday afternoon, it will be a really good game too. Those two teams have started really strongly, so keep an eye on that one on the netball courts on Saturday afternoon.
Heaps of stuff happening in the GVL. Michael Van Dorser, thanks for your time this morning, my friend.
Thanks very much, guys. Have a good one.
It's Mayor in a Minute on the Goulburn Valley's 95.3 Triple M.
Each week, we are joined by the Mayor of the region.
That's right. The Honourable.
The Honourable. We said we weren't going to do that too.
We weren't going to do that.
Shane Sally joins us. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, boys. How are we going?
Yeah, we're good, mate. Hey, we give you every week 60 seconds to tell us what's going on around the Goulburn Valley that we need to be aware of. I'm assuming this week is no different, but prepared?
Yes, I always do my best to prepare. So some exciting things that I'll obviously inform the community on, which was some BMX announcements, and obviously I'll touch on the purple lip bin.
Okay,
so let's get into it.
He's teasing the 60 seconds.
he's giving us a hook.
All right, we love to hear it. Look, here we go. We will throw ourselves 60 seconds on the clock. For Mayor in a Minute, Mayor Shane Sally, let's go.
Last Friday, Council welcomed the Minister for Community Sport, the Honourable Roz Spence, to Shepparton for a game-changing announcement for BMX and cycling. Under the Regional Sporting Infrastructure Program, we will see exciting developments at the Shepparton BMX Track and Shepparton Cycling Club precinct, including a multi-use events pavilion and a velodrome lighting upgrade. You would have seen the delivery of purple lid bins. The separate glass collection bin is a Victorian State Government decision, which will be compulsory to all Victorian councils. Greater Shepparton City Council chose to implement the individual bin option and adopt it early to allow us to secure additional funding to make the service more affordable for you, the community. Every household within Greater Shepparton will receive a 120-litre purple lid bin, which will be collected every 4 weeks. Collections will start from Monday, 3rd of June. Looking ahead to the weekend, the Melbourne to Move car rally is on this Saturday, so visit the Move website to book your spot. To find out what else is happening across the region, visit the Shepping GB website or Council's website and social media platforms.
All right.
He's done well.
He's done very well. He's done very well. Shane, rather than sort of mucking around, we'll go straight to the top of the food chain on this one. In regards to the purple bins, Josh's neighbours have all been given one, but Josh hasn't. Who does he need to complain to?
He's on the naughty list, obviously.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought I was on a black list.
A glass-free household.
Yeah, so... if he lets the mayor know, he might be able to follow it up for him and find out when he can get his purple bin delivered. But yes, every household, you might be on a different street, but obviously if it's your direct neighbours, for some unknown reason, you haven't got one, and I'm happy to follow that up for you.
Oh, well, yeah, we thought his bin might have been nicked.
We thought so. I may have a lead in the bin case. I might update people. I might update people later in the week about the bin case.
So do we? We'll tell what Shane. We will follow up on that lead first, and then then
don't go flipping tables yet, then, Shane.
If we realise then that Josh has done the wrong thing, we'll then. You'll never
We won't talk about that next week, will we?
Yeah, don't do that.
Mayor Shane Talley, thank you as always for your time this morning.
Good on you, boys. Have a great day.